Today's Pentecost Sunday, day that we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And so this morning I'd like to talk about or speak on the thought of power to serve. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your grace and presence in this place. We thank you for this time that we have together, that we can worship you, that we can bring our needs, Lord, to you as one body, and that we can, Lord, look to your Word. We ask, God, for your Holy Spirit now to fill this place. I pray for your anointing upon this speaker and that you would also anoint every hearer in this room. Help us, God, to hear what you're trying to tell us this morning. And we ask this all in your holy name. Amen. Most holidays, I don't look forward to coming most holidays, and the reason that I don't, preaching like Christmas and Thanksgiving, I just hate when the day dictates what I'm going to speak. I'd rather speak with what God lays on my heart, with one exception, and that is Pentecost Sunday, because I'm never bothered about talking about the influence of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for my Pentecostal heritage in that I was born and raised in a Pentecostal church, not literally born there, but you know what I mean. I thank God that the Holy Spirit filled me with His power. I thank God for His power and presence in my life every day. It's a wonderful, I hate to use the word experience because I don't think the word does that aspect of our relationship with Jesus justice. But I thank God for the magnitude of His presence in my life. And it's something that God has provided freely for everyone. And I'd like to take some time and talk about that this morning. Now, when we think about the influence of the Holy Spirit, we think of all the good things that happens when someone is filled to overflowing with God's Holy Spirit. In looking at our text, we see basically an incredible transformation of those 11 men who were following God. They weren't the only ones who received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but those are the ones that we have a real close-up view of their lives. We see them, the good, bad, and the ugly, especially in the Gospels. Now, before I continue, is it warm in here or is it just me? It's me. All right. I'm just going to take my coat off. I'm a little warm. It's amazing what the elevated platform does. We'll use that as an excuse. Amen. Praise God. But we have an idea of what these men were like as they followed Jesus. And they were ignorant, unlearned, and I hate to use that term. They weren't bad. They weren't stupid people. But they weren't people who were skilled in ministry. They were fishermen, tax collectors, just average, everyday people. And it showed as they followed Christ. They didn't know half the time. They didn't know what he was talking about. And they'd scratch their heads. And when he would do different things, they wondered, what in the world is he doing? Why is he talking to this woman? Why is he going here? Why is he saying this? And they'd often, Peter especially, would put his foot in his mouth. But everything changed when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that marks Acts chapter 2 is the fact that the disciples, who were very timid people as far as their faith, especially after Jesus was arrested, tortured, and crucified for our sins, one of the things that marked them was fear. They were very fearful of standing up for Jesus. And they had good cause to be fearful, because it cost their leader his very life, although Christ rose from the dead. But when the Holy Spirit fell, their hearts were transformed and they became very bold. Peter stood up. He didn't care anymore. He just freely preached Jesus to whoever was there. And it was in Jerusalem. And at that time, everyone was there. And so there'd be no doubt that Peter was a follower of Jesus, and that he served Jesus with all of his heart. And so, when the Holy Spirit came, and isn't this something that we want in our lives? In fact, I talked a little bit about this before prayer this morning. Isn't something that we want in our lives freedom from fear? Isn't life very scary? It certainly is, and it seems to get scarier every moment as we open up the newspapers or as we hear this trial or tragedy that's going on around us or in our families. We have good cause to be fearful for tomorrow, but we don't have to be fearful if the power of the Holy Spirit is living in its fullness in our lives, because God gives us the ability to rise above fear. Peter, and I know I've preached this before, but we need to be reminded of these things over and over again. Peter, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden everything made sense. A light went on in his head. This, what happened as far as the Holy Spirit being poured upon their lives, wasn't something that was shocking and surprising, because Jesus told them it was going to happen. Go to Jerusalem and spend time there until you be filled with power from on high. And so they knew it was coming. But man, when the Holy Spirit hit him, all of a sudden everything clicked. Everything made sense. This was that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This wasn't just something that Jesus spoke about himself. This is something that God foretold of many, many years ago. And it would be a revival, a movement that would usher in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but at times I can find this book very confusing. Maybe I'm the only one this morning. But bless God, especially as someone who's called to be a preacher and a teacher, I need to have an understanding of the Word if I'm to share it with other people. And you know, some of the things that help are wonderful books and commentaries. And we lived in such a blessed age today where we can look up things online in addition to the books that we might have. And study has really been made simple for us. But one of the things that has really helped, in fact, the most important thing that has helped this book, the Bible, become real to me and has enabled me to not only understand it, to digest it, but to share it with other people, is the influence of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Praise God for that. Other scriptures that talk about the personal blessing of the Holy Spirit when a person is filled filled with the Holy Spirit. One scripture we think of that talks about the moving of the Holy Spirit is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. This is something that Jesus quoted, but I feel that to share with you Isaiah this morning. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Now, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, or it talks about the Spirit of God being upon them, this is talking about the anointing of God or the presence of God upon someone's life. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost when God's Holy Spirit was poured out. And one of the personal things, or there's two things actually that's mentioned in this scripture that affects us personally when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one is joy. That's one of the most beautiful scriptures, I think, that there is in the Bible. And that's Isaiah 61, verse 3. To provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. There is a lot in life to be sorrowful about. Life is full of many, many sorrows. I could ask anyone, if everyone here, if there's something that, some kind of weight or burden that you're carrying in your life today, you would all say yes. And we see this evidenced in society today where people are looking someplace. They're not all looking for Jesus, unfortunately, but everyone is looking for something or some place to find peace or joy in their lives. Some people are looking in a bottle. Some people are looking in drugs. Some people are looking in organizations or the different things that man has to offer. But there's only one true answer or one true solution to the problem of sorrow in our lives. And let me tell you, sorrow is something that can be very, very devastating if God doesn't intervene in that. A scripture that comes to mind is from the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, a man named Jacob. Now, Jacob had 12 sons, but the son that he loved the most was the son he called Joseph. And Joseph, of course, was sold into slavery. But Jacob thought that he died. And he said, "This is going to bring me down to the grave." What his words tell us and illustrate to us is the very danger that sorrow, if left unchecked, what it can bring to our lives. And that is, if we don't do something about the burdens, the weights, the tears, that or wounds that we've experienced in our lives, it can bring us down to a pit of despair where we don't even want to live anymore, or we're living far short of where we possibly could live. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The wounds that we experience in life are real wounds. But when God comes in, the oil of gladness that he gives us when we're filled to overflowing with the power of his Holy Spirit heals any wound that we might have. We may still have a scar there, but bless God. God, when his Holy Spirit comes upon us, elevates us above all sorrow. And I don't care what sorrow you might bear in your heart, how you've been wronged, whether it's a loss of a friend or a family member, whether it's the loss of your health. There's so many things that can take our joy away from us. If we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it causes our heart to soar, even though our lives, everything around us might be crumbling. There's no explanation for it. It's supernatural. It's God, and it's real. And it's what happens when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says in that scripture that we looked at this morning that those whom the Holy Spirit is upon, they'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Another great trial and tragedy that there is in the life of everyone who lives and breathes, even those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, is the struggle with sin. How many here this morning, don't raise your hands, have struggled with sin this week? Or dare I say today? We all have. And if we face sin by ourselves, we will surely fail at some point. We may be able to hold up for a time, but because we're flesh, we're weak, we will crumble at some point and give in to that sin. Unless the power of the Holy Spirit is running full and free in our hearts and in our lives. Because the Bible says those whom the anointing is upon, those whom the anointing is on, praise God, will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. The Holy Spirit will give us the strength to overcome each and every sin. And one of the greatest blessings I've found in my life, and it's akin to this, as far as being someone who is filled with the Spirit of God, is described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. Scripture there says, "He who speaks in a tongue or an unknown language edifies or builds himself." I've gone in my life, I'm no different than anyone else, so I'm not trying to say I've gone through, and actually I know people have gone through harder things than I have myself. But just like you, I've gone through struggles in life, and I've allowed those struggles to affect me and rob me of my joy. There have been times where I'm not the person that I should be. Maybe I'm a little grouchier than I should be as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm discouraged and not full of praise. Let me tell you one thing that consistently that has helped me rise above the struggle of my flesh, whatever that might be, has been having that privilege or that ability to spend time with God in prayer. And not just prayer from my own heart and my mind, but praying in the Spirit. And what I mean by that is, when a person, according to Scripture, when a person is filled to overflowing with the Spirit, and perhaps I've gotten a little ahead of myself this morning, but as Pentecostals, we believe in two works of grace. the first work of grace is being forgiven of sin, being born again. We place our faith in Jesus when we believe that He is the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again that we might have new life. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the Bible says we become a brand new person. But the second work of grace is what was demonstrated here in Acts, or what we read about this morning in Acts chapter 2. When God subsequently, to the disciples putting their faith and trust in Him, spent time and praying and seeking the face of God, were filled to overflowing in their hearts with the might and the power of God. They already believed in God. And now, after the second work of grace, they were filled to overflowing with the power of God in their lives. And one of the things that marked this experience was the fact that they began to speak in other languages or other tongues. You might hear it referred to that. And there are many ways that people pray in tongues. In this instance here in Acts chapter 2, they were praising God. It was God anointing and touching their worship. But in 1 Corinthians 14, the scripture that I read just a few moments ago, we can also not only praise God in another language, we can also pray to God in another language. Should we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, only pray in another language? No. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 14 says, I will pray with my mind, but I also pray with my spirit. And when we pray in the spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, scripture I said mentioned just a few moments ago, he who speaks in a tongue or an unknown language edifies or builds himself up. There have been times in my life where I've either been discouraged, and many times, or confused, or maybe just the passion for God wasn't where it was supposed to be. And I made time to begin to pray and seek God, and as I did, I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me, and I would pray with my mind, with the English language, but then I would also pray in the Spirit. And sometimes I would pray in the Spirit for a long time. And without question, every time I would rise from that time of prayer, I would rise from that time of prayer a changed person, renewed in my mind, renewed in my heart, renewed in my spirit. God's Word is not void. And praying in another language, it does something. Something real, something tangible. And if it's not part of your practice, make it part of your practice. It's part of something good that God has provided for you, and it will, and it literally has changed my life. In fact, most of you, if not all, know my story and my history with cancer, and the biggest thing that has gotten me through that situation with all the different things that with chemo and whatnot that I went through is spending time in prayer, and specifically spending time praying in the Spirit. To use I can't think of that word. Forgive the expression. To use the expression this morning, I would get up no matter what, physically or emotionally or spiritually, I was going through, ready to take the tiger by the tail. Amen. God's real. So there's so many blessings that come into our lives when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a Pentecostal church, we preach being filled with the Holy Spirit because we want people to receive this blessing in their lives. It's not just for pastors or teachers, and it's not just for spiritual people in the church. We're all spiritual. Amen? This is a gift that God has for everything. It's just like salvation. God wants everyone to be saved. And when we talk about people try to encourage people to receive this wonderful gift, we of course tell them, well, you need to have faith, because God is someone who rewards faith, because it's a gift. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you earn. It's something that you receive, so you need to believe for it. We tell people that it's important to live a holy life. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a holy spirit. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. So it's important that we live holy before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we obey. The disciples obeyed. They did what Jesus told them. They went to Jerusalem and they waited, and God's Holy Spirit came upon them. So it's important that we obey God in our lives. And it's important to pray. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. So all those things are important as far as receiving this wonderful gift. But the thing I'd like to talk about this morning is attitude. Your attitude in receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is very, very important. Because God is not someone who just looks at what we do. God is someone who looks at who we are, or who looks at our heart. And if we want to receive the Holy Spirit, just like everything else as it relates to our relationship with Christ, it's important that we have the right attitude. And the attitude I'd like to talk about this morning that I think is very, very important receiving this wonderful gift is the attitude of giving, or the attitude of service. Now, one of my favorite scriptures that I talk about often as far as it relates to our calling as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we basically, as believers, have two responsibilities: to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And then, you know, we come in third. And that attitude has to be transposed on our desire for the moving of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives. Because as we see in Scripture, the gift of the Holy Spirit primarily, and there are so many blessings and benefits, we talked about them just a few moments ago, but primarily the gift of the Holy Spirit was bestowed upon the church so that God's people could serve Him. Let's look at some of these instances once again. Look at what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And when they were poured out, tongues of fire were upon their head. There was the sound of the rushing mighty wind. And then they began to speak in other tongues. And interestingly enough, in that setting, the things that they were saying in these other tongues or languages were recognized by the people that were around them. It was a time in Jerusalem where there were a lot of different people who were coming to Jerusalem from different parts of the world, and they heard their native language, or the language of the country that they lived in, being spoken, and they specifically heard what was being spoken, and they weren't talking about the day, and they weren't, even in their words, they weren't asking God to bless them or God to do this in their lives. They were praising. They were worshiping God. They were fulfilling the greatest commandment that's upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is an attitude that we need. If we truly want to be people who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we can be so focused on self. God, I want the power so I can feel this, and I can do this, and so on and so forth. And yes, those things happen. But the primary goal of God's Holy Spirit coming upon believers is so that God's people will be able to glorify Him in an even greater way. More than just themselves. It's God moving in us so that we can glorify Him. They were ministering to God in heavenly inspired praise and worship. They were fulfilling the greatest commandment in a new way. in a higher way. And then they moved on from that. Peter got up after, you know, there was a commotion in town, and everyone wondered what was going on. God got everyone's attention. And then he began to do what? He began to preach salvation. He didn't, you know, start praying for James or John or Bartholomew or Thomas or the other disciples. Well, let's just have a bless me club here. We're up in the upper room and let's just see what God does for us. No, the Holy Spirit was moving upon them to touch other people with the life-changing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about other people. And then there was a prophecy that Peter referred to from the book of Joel. In the last days, verse 17, Acts chapter 2, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So, not only did they minister to God, not only did they preach salvation, but the purpose of this infilling of the Holy Spirit, of this moving upon them, was revealed. That being that their descent, both them and their descendants, would exercise spiritual gifts. And what is the purpose of spiritual gifts such as prophecy and tongues and interpretation or dreams and visions? Oh, just so that we feel good. Oh, wow, God gave me a dream. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, wow, I stood up today and shared a prophecy in church. How wonderful that is. It's not for self. It's for others. It's for the body of Christ to be encouraged and strengthened. It's for people who don't know Christ, that they might hear the message that Jesus loves them and come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of this outpouring was to touch other people with the gospel of Jesus. And so the attitude of receiving needs to be an attitude of serving. Because and I think this is really important, because I know there are some people, and I'm not saying categorically this is the case with every individual, but I know there have been many people who have been frustrated in that they've sought this experience in their lives for many years and have not received it. One reason might be your attitude's not quite been right. And what I mean by that, you're looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit as something that will do something for me. Kind of like the administration of spiritual gifts. And what I mean by that is God moves in a mighty way. And when he moves by the power of his Holy Spirit, supernatural things can and often do happen. Divine messages such as prophecy or tongues and interpretation. People can be healed. People might have a word of knowledge or wisdom for someone. Now, there can be miracles. So, you know, there's just so many wonderful things. There can be an understanding if there's an evil spirit present or a false teaching present. Someone can give someone, even though it looks good and sounds good, someone can give insight. God can give insight to someone regarding those things. And as Pentecostals, it's important that we realize the purpose for those things, because sometimes we get a little sidetracked and we get a little carried away where we think it's all about us. And let me share with you a very tangible thing that happens in a church when there is a message in tongues or prophecy. And this happens, maybe it doesn't happen with you, but it's happened with me before. Where all of a sudden, you know, we're in a service and all of a sudden there's a message in tongues and an interpretation or there's a prophetic word. And everyone's happy because God has spoken. And wow, isn't it great that God has spoken? And the person who's been the instrument, oh wow, you know, God has used me for this. And yes, that's wonderful. But that's not the point. When there's a message, it's God speaking to us. That means He wants to tell us something. And the thing is, and oh wow, isn't it great that God was here and did that? Yeah, that's great. But more importantly, what did God say? And what does it mean in my life? In fact, we really don't need to be too carried away. I've used this illustration before, but you know, if God uses you, yes, be blessed and thankful. But don't get too carried away, because in the Old Testament, God used a donkey to share a word of prophecy with someone. So qualifications aren't that high. Amen? If they were, I wouldn't be here this morning. So we get all carried, but that's not the reason for it. The reason is to bless other people. And sometimes we want God so much, but we don't want Him for the right reasons. And I'm talking about the anointing or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We want Him for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with wanting joy and all those wonderful things. Those are wonderful benefits that are guaranteed to us by Calvary and magnified immensely, exponentially through the infilling of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. But sometimes the desire to be used supernaturally or be filled with the Holy Spirit becomes more of a pride thing. You know, I'm now a spiritual person. I'm now the prophet. All right? You know, I can lay hands on the sick and recover. I'm now the healer. And it becomes about me. That's not what God's calling us to do at all. That's not the purpose and the reason for those things. It's not about us. It's about other people. And so, if we're just looking to be filled and not looking to be poured out to others, we're going to have a very difficult time being filled. Think of it like a pitcher of water. You know, one of the images in Scripture of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is water. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And the Bible also describes believers as vessels or pitchers or containers that receive water. Well, if you know, a pitcher is only good and will only be filled if it's going to be poured out or used. If you pour water in, if you go to a restaurant after service today and you have water, and you don't drink any water, is anyone going to put anything more in that? No, they're not, because it's going to flow all over your table. So why would God fill something that's not going to be poured out or something that's going to be used? In fact, let me tell you something. Secondly, and forgive me for kind of rambling on this morning, but I think this is very important. This is one reason why some people have received the infilling of the Holy Spirit at a service, and then it just kind of died away because you've never poured out into other people. And I've experienced, you know, I grew up in Pentecost, so I've met a lot of people that way. Oh yeah, I was filled back in 1963, and I haven't felt the same since that. In fact, in a lot of ways, I feel worse. Well, perhaps one reason is because you're not pouring out of what God poured into you. That power, that's what it was meant to do. In fact, if fresh water is not coming in, what's going to happen? You're going to get stale and stagnant. We can and we should be, if we're truly people doing what God has called us to be doing, people who are filled over and over and over again with the power of God's Holy Spirit. It happened in Acts chapter 4. They were filled again, same people, with the Holy Spirit. So God's not willing to pour His Spirit on a person who's unwilling to give or to serve. Secondly, we need to have an attitude of service. And this attitude is demonstrated two ways. Number one, we need to recognize that we need the anointing to serve effectively. Jesus was anointed. Amen? And what I mean by that, when Jesus, when he started his earthly ministry, the Bible says he was baptized by John the Baptist, and then the Spirit of God came down and led upon him in the form of a dove. In fact, the scripture I read from the book of Isaiah chapter 61, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he read the self same scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In fact, the word Christ, Jesus Christ, literally means Jesus the Anointed. Now, Jesus could do anything because he is the Son of God. All things were created by him and for him. He did not need the power of the Holy Spirit. But as a man, showing us how to live, lived and operated under the power of the Holy Spirit. He was showing us how to live as a man. The disciples were nothing without God's Holy Spirit upon them. Oh, yeah, you can go back and say, well, didn't they go out two by two and cast out demons and everything? Yeah, but what did Jesus say to them when they came back? Don't rejoice that you were able to cast out demons. Rejoice that your name is in the book of life. Basically, what he was saying was, it wasn't you doing that. It was my Holy Spirit that was upon you that was accomplishing those things. And so to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there needs to be that understanding that I need the anointing if I'm going to minister effectively. Can we minister without God? Absolutely we can. And oftentimes, unfortunately, we do. We do it in our own strength. Some people don't give 2 minutes of prayer before they do anything for the kingdom of God. They're doing it in their own strength. And what's the problem with that? Well, the problem with that, you might, in your own strength, with your own abilities, appeal to someone's mind or to their heart. But it's only God and God's Holy Spirit that can appeal and touch their spirits and bring a life change and transformation to their soul. And so there needs to be this desperation. God, I need you in order to minister effectively. And then, and right along with that, there needs to be an understanding that if we're to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, we need to be pouring out of our lives. We need to be serving Him. And with this is the understanding, number one, that I have a call upon my life to serve Jesus. Every one of us who's here has a call. We all have something to do for God's kingdom. And some people might say, I'm not sure what it is. All of us have essentially the same call to make disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have the same call to worship God. So there's an understanding that there is a call upon our lives. There are specific callings. But then there's a general calling. Number two, we need to know what that calling is. We have that general calling, but God has called every one of us to do something specifically for His kingdom. And that's not just, you know, delineating it into, you know, teaching Sunday school or doing street witnessing or things of that nature. But specifically, that's touching the people who are in the circle of our lives. Our callings are unique that way, and God has placed us in different situations for us to be lights and witnesses, and we need to have that understanding regarding that. And thirdly, we need to have the understanding or the willingness that we're going to be obedient to fulfill that calling. You know, if the disciples, if there were going to be 11 or 12 men up in the upper room who just decided, you know, it's just going to be us and we're going to let we're going to be saved, but we're going to let the message of the cross die with us. I doubt the events of Pentecost would have unfurled the way that we read about them this morning. God would have poured out His Spirit on someone else, someone who was willing to go and to walk in the power of the cross and to share the love of Christ, to fulfill the heart and burden of Christ on other people. But they were men who were definitely willing and evidenced by their actions, went out and fulfilled God's calling upon their lives. So I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning.